Please continue to enjoy your tea and your cookie. And now it is time for us to start our discussion. So if you have any question, please you can start to ask, or any sharing, please do so. Today is the April 26, 2008, or April 25. The question is: one of our sisters here shared that lately she got very angry with someone. And she really want to forgive. She really want to release that kind of suffering in her. And but she doesn't know how. This is a big topic. And this is very reality that we all deal with this energy every day. And I believe each of us, we have a different way to transform this negative energy in us. So please share your practice to our sister. I believe you at least have some experience about this. I'm sure. If not, you are a saint already. We always have this kind of energy in us, and we always deal with this kind of thing every day. Last week, I met a businessman, and he said, "Thai, I want to sell out my business because I feel enough, and I cannot guarantee that I am able to control my anger if I still continue to deal with business." You know, as a businessman, you very easy to get upset. You always thinking about, you know, win and lose, and whatever beneficial to bring for your for yourself. And that means, you know, lot of angry, lot of anxiety, also in us. So please share. This is not only Thai. I also have angry, but I believe that every one of us have this, and we need to looking for a method, a way, how to transform this kind of negative energy in us. Yes, Faye.
It's kind of hard to hear over there. Sorry. Secondly, I wondered about what it was, why I was angry, and what attachment to the situation was causing that to come forth from me first. And because if there was a two-person anger situation, then I can't control their anger, but I can control my own. And the third thing, and most important for me, was learning to practice meditation. And practicing it every day, and that really helped.
Okay, my suggestion might be a little different, but I guess maybe it's practical. Make some art or write something.
I found that it's easier to get over anger and easier to forgive when I realize that the other person that I'm dealing with is like me, is trying their best and doing what they think is best for them in the circumstances. And we're all trying to cope with various kinds of situations and do the best we can. And sometimes there's just a conflict. And I find that it's just easier to understand the other person, or at least to let go of the attachment to the difference when I realize that they're trying their best too.
I say an affirmation about 1,000 times a day, and it's a let me hold forgiveness in my heart, and it works. I don't know why, but it calms me down, and it helps me forget it. I don't exactly know what's going on, but it helps me forget about the issue.
I'm really nervous, actually, so I do want to share what helps me. I read in one of Thich Nhat Hanh's books, I think it might have been in Peace in Every Step, and it talked about walking meditation when angry, and basically it's breathing in, I know that anger is here, breathing out, I know that anger is me, breathing in, I know that anger is unpleasant. Breathing out, I know this feeling will pass. Breathing in, I'm calm. And breathing out, I'm strong enough to take care of this anger. I find that really can really help me. And writing, I always find really helps me as well. I write down who I'm angry about. I write down why I'm angry about them, about this particular person. And then I look at what part of me it's affecting, you know, whether it's my self-esteem or my relationships or my social ambitions or any of whatever what's going on. And then I look at what's the exact sort of nature of my wrongs in that. You know, have I been selfish? Have I been dishonest? Am I being prideful or egotistical or any of those things? And I share it with somebody else because it takes the power out of it. And I pray to transform that anger into gratitude, and I may write about what I'm grateful for that person for. Because even, you know, the person I feel the most angry about, there's always something that I can feel very grateful for with them. And just in what Faye said, you know, about the double-edged sword, I've heard someone say, you know, anger is like drinking poison but expecting somebody else to die. You know, it's like... it's our heads that need to get on the pillow with a clear conscience, you know, and it's just like, you know, I don't want people to live rent-free in my head, and but that's what's helped me, but, yeah, thank you.
I'm trying to actually get angry, I think quite often. What I'm trying to see now is actually I'm trying to look at what makes me angry and not that person, you know, like what that person is doing instead of that person, and what is it that affects me, you know, what's in me, what am I bringing in this anger, you know. And at the beginning I was always like directing like my anger like because of that person. And now I'm like, oh, well, I might be bringing something. What is it that I have to learn from that? You know, and so it doesn't, it's really not easy because, I mean, I tend to react, but then I try to breathe in actually now and can calm down and look at it, you know, like from a distance and detach from the feeling. You know, it's really difficult, but yeah.
The way I look at anger and the way I deal with anger is I see it as something that I'm scared of, something that's making me fearful, and I'm fearing some sort of loss of some part of myself, and that loss means that I'm still hanging on to something that is making me afraid and is making me angry. And so if I can break come down to detaching myself to that fear of that loss. I find that it generally helps me deal with it. Usually what helps is focusing on the practice, focusing on the breath, and concentrating and understanding the nature of that loss and that attachment.
I guess one of the things that I want to share with you tonight is basically when I deal with anger is when I drive in the streets of Edmonton and deal with the Edmonton drivers.
Good to have.
I have learned basically that I was reading once that you're angry at someone or at something to you, you are basically angry at the entire universe because it took the entire universe to bring you to that moment. And so why fight the universe? Just accepting who you are and don't be angry anymore.
When you think about forgiveness, sometimes you think, it makes me feel better to be mad at that person and not being able to forgive him or her. And I'll just carry that around because you think, or it maybe makes you feel that it gives you a power to be angry over somebody. But as everybody else has said, you're taking your energy, and it's a negative energy, and you're feeding something negative. And don't forget that what you put out always comes back, usually tenfold. And if you think of it this way, forgiveness is rather selfish. And you think, and most people, perhaps not Thai, tend to be selfish because people think, what will it benefit me first? Although when you do a practice, you try not to think that way. But when you're thinking, what would be the possible benefit of forgiving this person? Really, a lot of times the person, I don't think most times they think that it matters whether you forgive them or not, because they might not even know. But forgiveness is rather a selfish thing, because once you forgive somebody, it clears all of your energy. And it actually does wonders for you. So forgiveness is more about doing something for yourself than actually for somebody else. So if you can just kind of put the other person on the shelf for a minute and think about, what can I do for me, and forgive that other person, even though it might be a really hard thing to do, but if you give it a go and say, you know what, I'm going to forgive that person and see what I get out of it, I think you'll be very surprised at how you feel if you can take that step.
I find when I get angry, I often wonder if it was intentional or if it was just accidental. And if it's accidental, I always just try to get past it. But if it's intentional, I often wonder why, what caused it. And often I confront it. It's not always the best method, but I sometimes just sitting down and having a very blunt talk is often a good way to get some anger out. And that's just what I find.
Normally, if I get angry, I just let it express, my anger express for a while, or I walk away. And after that, I look deeply in the reason why the person does that for me to be angry. So we have to look deep in the reason and analyze it, and we can understand the person and understand the reason why they do it. And we can talk to the person that caused the anger to me. And after we talk, and we relieve the anger. And the anger might lighten or might go away.
I find it useful and possible to address the other person, to let them know how I feel, if I'm hurt, why, and maybe clear, give them a chance either to tell their side of the story or front the difference. And when that's not possible, it seems like the hardest thing to sometimes, like Ron said, that the other person is actually doing the best they can. When you see them do something that's entirely hypocritical or entirely selfish and just the total rude behavior, and you ask, how is it possible that they could do that? But if you know more about them and what they, where they come from, and to simply accept the truth that somehow they are doing the best they can from where they are. Let it go.
Could I just ask you, did you say at the end that you you wanted to open your heart but you couldn't? That's the bit I'm vibrating with. Because for me, I have various stages of anger. I only ever feel really angry and hurt when it's somebody I'm really close to. And I'm just talking from my perspective, so I'm not saying it's your truth. And sometimes when when you live with an open heart, I think it's the best way, for me it's the best way to live, but it means I'm also opening up myself to be vulnerable again and to be maybe feel hurt again and maybe feel pain again. But to me that's a better choice than not feeling all of those things, because for me it's only living a quarter of a life. It's difficult, maybe, but it's a better choice than the other choice. And part of hanging on sometimes to the anger is because you still want to stay, I still want to stay connected to that other person, and I'm not ready to let go yet. With acceptance, because sometimes things don't work. It's a lot of what people are saying is lost. There's all kinds of things rolled into that. So maybe when you're near, sometimes it serves the purpose for a little while, but it doesn't, like, it doesn't do you good, doesn't do me good to hang on to it for a while. I got a whole whoosh of feeling from you rather than an intellectual thing, so I don't know. I'm just rambling.
When we reflect to a human's life, and we will realize that angry is one of the seat, very strong seat in awe of our mind. And because unfortunately we did not practice to water the good seat in us oftenly, and we just let that kind of seed get in touch with the conditions that help for that negative seed grow up and bloom as a flower easily. And that is the reason why we come to the practice. We come to the practice because the practice is able to calm that kind of seed down. We are unable to say that I will practice in order to get rid of the angry in me. We are unable to get rid of it. But the practicing will help us to recognize when we're angry and to calm that energy down.
That's all we really need. And, you know, if you achieve to that kind of practice, it's not that easy. We achieve to the energy of recognizing when we're angry and calm that anger down. In Buddhism, we talk about heaven and hell. So when we mention heaven, do not think heaven is somewhere that you can go there after you die. But heaven is when you're able to calm your anger down. Hell means when you're unable to get rid of your anger, and you let that anger become the main object that you focus to that every day, and you unable to open the gate of hell and liberate yourself. And you prison yourself in that kind of hell all day long. And the Buddha mentioned one of the hell is non-stop suffering. The Buddha named that kind of hell is non-stop suffering. We're suffering all the time. And if we're able to cut that, we automatically return to heaven. And in Kristigaba Sutra, the Buddha mentioned that is the country without a form. The heaven is formless, but it's reality. When you want to release someone, to forgive someone, actually, when we say, I forgive you, but actually, we forgive us. Because when we're able to forgive that person, you release that person, that enemy object, out of your heart, out of your mind, automatically you also release. You light, you feel free right away. When I was a novice, and I am very attached with all my learning, and if someone who practiced together with me, and if they do something wrong, I really upset, and I always like a boss, because I attach to what I learn. And every day when I sleep, I dreamed, I saw that I got a fight with them, I argument with them. But one day when I grow up, and one day that person come to me and apologies for what they have done wrong in the past, and I think back, I am a bhikkhu now. That means I am a full monk. I'm unable to nourish this kind of energy in me all the time. If I still nourish this kind of energy in me, how can I become a real teacher? And soon I say that person out of my heart. And to tell you the truth, since that minute, since that day, I never see dream anymore. So when you release that person, when you forgive that person, when you say, oh, I forgive, actually you forgive yourself, because you allow you to live in a free, in a liberation environment. In Dhammapada, the Buddha said, how happy that I live in the environment without anger. In this society, we have a lot of energy of anger surround us. And if we are unable to practice how to look, how to focus to the positive things, we always focus to the negative things, then we can get easily angry in everything that surrounds us. For instance, right in this, what we call meditation, and if you attach to what you have learned, you can get angry with a lot of things that happen in the meditation session. For example, Thay said, you have to hold your tray of cookie with two hands, and then you pass them on to the right, and then you have to join your hand and do all the instructions like that.
And if you see someone, one hand they hold their tray, one hand they pick up the cookie, you can get angry right away. He did not listen to the instruction carefully. If you want to get angry, you can see things make you angry, every single thing. I used to teach the novice, I said, when you see someone else falls, instead of blaming them, you should blame yourself. Why? They have a lot of good things you don't see, but you only see the wrong things. You should blame yourself. You don't have enough merit. You don't have enough opportunity to see the good side of the others. We need to say that in order to help us to move on to in the practice and to calm that kind of attachment, that kind of blaming, that kind of complaining in us. We have all kinds of seeds in us. Jealousy, hate, desire, all kinds of negatives, but also positives. It depends on every day how we water them. For instance, in our garden, we have some flower that we plant. We also have grasses. We also have some wild flower that we never want. But somehow they also grow up strongly right in our garden. We don't want to water them, but we always focus to water the flower. But the flower grow very weak. But that kind of wildflower grow very strong in our garden. One of the gatha that we should learn: anger make me angry, makes me look ugly. When I realize that, I return to my consciousness breathing and focus on compassionate. When you want to understand someone, put yourself in that situation, and then you understand why that person did that. Yesterday, late at night, I received an email from a lady. She contacted me, "Tai, I need your help very urgent. My family situation almost exploded." So I just sit there and wait for her call. And she called me around 11 p.m. And she explained the situation that her husband nourished the fishes just for fun. And he willing to use to dig the soil in the garden in order to find some worm to feed the fish. And she always complained, "We have the food for the fishes. Why don't you use that food?" And I, just because of that small thing, and they got into a fight. And in the past, when she practiced, he never supports. He never encouraged. But lately, he recognized her transformation. He recognized she changed. That's why she supported a little. He supported a little bit. And I have to, you know, she said, "Why don't you focus to your karma for your next life? You kill the worm and you will be bad in next life. And you know you have kids. You should leave some merits for your kids." Stuff like that. I said, if people, they live in that kind of understanding, they unaccept, they're unable to accept your Dharma talk like this. You have to change another way. We have the food for the fish. Why don't we use? If if you pick the worms to feed the fish, and you will make the water dirty, and somehow we make the fish will be sick. You can use another way to explain, but more gentle, because they are not willing to listen to Dharma talk. You still give Dharma talk, but in their own language, in their own ways of understanding. there are many ways to help us to transform the angry in us. And I believe you have listened and you have learned. Walking is one of the ways. Don't drive, danger. When you get angry, instead of grab your key and get into the car and to drive, it's very dangerous. You have no destination to go other than, you know, hospital or cemetery. We should take a walk. Walk in the park. Get in touch with the sky, the nature, the tree, the flowers. Make the fresh air cool you down. And don't stay, don't hang around with the anger, you know, that environment make you easily to upset, to increase your anger. Sometimes when we're angry with someone, especially our loved one, and at that moment we don't want to look at that person, we don't want to talk to him, we don't want to talk to her, and at that moment we feel that we don't want to, you know, get along with this person anymore. We give up. But after a while, we calm down and we can see how we explode. Sometimes, because of our anger, we have talked a lot of things that make us feel guilty after, embarrassed. If we are not angry, we talk to each other, we call each other very sweet. Darling, honey, very sweet. But if we get upset, we're willing to give each of us a spoon of salt. And one of the way that the Buddha teach us that to practice on loving kindness. And meditation, as I mentioned a lot of times, every day, if you practice meditation, it will help you to calm you down. And if something happened to you suddenly, and even that is very odd, very negative, you still slowly deal and facing and transform it. Meditation is a very powerful practice to heal all kind of sickness, not only one thing only. For example, we have the habit of fast react. When someone says something, a few words we realize doesn't fit with what we expect, we react right away. We give their judging right away. And meditation will help us to slow down, to help us to able to listening, help us to have a capacity of listening deeply. And we are able to talk, to use the language in such a way to explain and to talk. Anger doesn't help anything. It only increased. It's only burned the environment and also burning the happiness in us. Remember this. A tree can made into thousands of matches, but just one match able to burn the whole forest. Do you see that example? If we cut down a tree and we divide them into small pieces and turn them into a match, and we can make thousands of matches just by one tree, but just one match able to burn the whole forest. We put a lot of effort to build up a family. I use the word family, I don't use the word a house, because a house is only a facility. But a family is made by love, made by understanding. So we put a lot of effort, we put a lot of energy to build a family. But sometimes, one flame of anger able to burn our whole family down. So there are some ways that the philosopher used to, actually the psychologist will use to ask us to punch to a pillow in order to relieve your suffering. But in Buddhism, we do not really agree with that kind of technique because it's only temporary release. But on the other side, they increase the violence in you. So you punch to the pillow in order to relieve your anger, but it increases your violence. So for some people, they think, when I get mad with my loved one, I will go to a club, I get some drink. So I hope that after I drink, I can forget everything. But that is only the way to put a lid on your garbage bin. But the garbage is still there. You never empty the garbage. You have to learn how to empty your garbage. Or if you are wiser, you can transform the garbage into the compost. If you look at anger able to become a lecture, a Dharma talk for you to learn and to practice. In Buddhism practice, we don't try to run away of all the negative, but we meditate in order to gain the energy in us, in order to willing to face, to deal, to help, to transform. If someone is bad, we don't try to push them out, but we embrace, accept, embrace, and help. We don't try to push away of anything, but we need to accept, because the more you accept, the more you're happy. The more you expect, the more you suffer. Because when you have a lot of expectation, and when things never satisfy with what you expect, your whole life collapses. Your whole dream collapses. And remember, dream is never real. Only the present moment. You want or not, this kind of thing already happened. You cannot change the situation. You cannot do anything. The only way is willing to face them. If you ask for the mortgage, you cannot run away from your loan. You must pay. And you know, when you have, and then how can you pay if you do not go to work? You need to go to work. Same thing. You have enough energy, capacity to pay or to deal with your anger. Put yourself in the situation of that person in order to understand. If you are unable to talk directly, you can write a letter to express how you feel about the situation, how you feel about that person, why you need to write. Because when you write, you have a chance, the opportunity to read back what you wrote. And you will correct your words when you use, because when you speak, you are unable to the language. And then you may say a lot of things that hurt that person, that hurt you too. So when you write down, you're able to read over and correct each of your words. And that is the reason why before I invite the bell, I wake the bell up. Waking the bell means everybody get ready. I will invite the bell. And I also talk to the bell. Bell, are you ready? I will invite you. And you will become a beautiful sound to calm others. Before I talk, before we talk, we stop for a few seconds to think deeply about the language we use. Because of our word, just the same as the sound of the bell, make people happy or make people shocked, scared, it depends on how we invite the bell. Make people angry or happy, it depends on how we use the words. That is Buddhism. You don't have to become a licensed Buddhist. But if you're able to calm down and see all of that things in your life, you already follow the Buddha's footprint. One day, the teacher asked the student, go to that fireplace and find me some flame. The student come and take a look. He come back to the teacher and say, Master, there is no flame there. It's already gone. The master stand up, come to the fireplace, use a stick, take all the ashes out, and he find out. He hold up, he say, what is this? The student enlightenment. You know what is that mean? There are two meanings. The teacher want to say, come to see that fireplace. Is there any flame still? That means, look back to yourself. You still can see, you still have your anger or not. Flame stands for anger. And sometimes, you look at Thai. You see he's very calm. And you think, oh, Thai is perfect. Thai is very calm. Very practical monk. But no, that kind of flame still stay inside. I hide them very skillful. If you touch, you will see. You know, you see that meaning? Don't just look at the surface. We always have that kind of flame hiding very skillfully inside of us. So when the teacher come and move some ashes, he hold some flame there. What is this? Second meaning, we always have the Buddha's nature in us. The capacity to practice very well, but we don't know, but we don't see it. We just think, I'm unable to do it. For example, if I ask you to meditate, time, my leg is sore, my back is pain, I'm unable to do it. That is not a good excuse. You're unable to sit on the floor, you sit on the bench. We have three cushions here, right? Small one, big one, chair and bench. We create the conditions to help you to meditate. Just say, don't say, I cannot do it. There are two meanings there, huh? Positive or negative, it depends on how you see it. So if you are not achieved to the high level of awakening, don't trust yourself too much. That means we still have a lot of positive and negative, good side and bad side in us. Garbage and flower. It depends on how you water that kind of seed every day. Get in touch with good things more than bad things. Read some quotations every day. Each day, one quotation. Buddha called making friends with good things. You know how to find a good friend for yourself for every day by reading one quotation each day. We have 365 days. You have 365 quotations. And every day, when you open your eyes, you join your hands, you thank for the day. And you vow to go through this day with your wholeheartedly, with your mindfulness. Mindfulness means appreciate everything you have. Don't water yourself, don't water the negative seed in you often. Get in touch with good things more. Like if you know that in you, you are very easy to get mad, then some of the movie, some of the TV program, they are not good for us to watch because that only increases the negative in us. I know when we mention something, when we talk about something, it's very easy. But the point is, we need to get into the practice. All we share today is only a philosophy. And if we do not get down to the practice, we never experience. And how can we express the awakening unless we practice the same? And what I have shared, or what all the brothers and the sisters share, become a real practice. So Buddhism is not only talking. One day I talked to the novices. I said sometimes we are practicing sitting meditation, but we only do one thing, just sitting, but we never meditate. Even though you call sitting meditation, but you just do one thing only, just sit, but you don't meditate. Right? Sometimes you call you sit here for tea meditation, but you just sit there and drinking, but you don't drinking tea because you don't taste the real taste of the tea. Your mind is vacation. Your mind is going, moving forward to Saturday or Sunday already. So important. Sometimes we call sitting meditation. We never meditate, we just sit. So every people come and see, we sit very beautifully. But who knows, our mind is already absent, it's already gone. Can you see what I mean? So one of the gatha you can learn, angry makes me look ugly. I come back, I return to my consciousness and meditate on compassionate loving kindness. As a monk, as a person who works for the community, and if you don't have compassionate, you're unable to do it. Because you have to deal with people a lot, different kind of people. And sometimes you don't get paid, but you always got complaining. And if you don't have the practice in you, you are very easy to give up. When you come to an idea that I want to volunteering, and that is a beautiful picture in you, I will help senior, I will help patients, but when you get into the real situation, they are not like that anymore. One day I give an example. When you look at the stage, and you will see beautiful decoration, right? With lot of painting, lot of things. But when you go behind the scenes, you don't see that picture anymore, but you see everything, brushes, paint, and everything all over. And you will see big difference. In the front is very beautiful, but at behind the scene is very messy. But remember, those messy instruments have made the beautiful picture in the front. Do you see a picture that I just said? All negative things behind the scenes have made you become a good person. All the negative things that come to your life have transformed you into a practical person. Sometimes we got into a big problem because of our anger. But we grow up from that. We have learned a lot from that. It's very painful. We have paid a very big price for that. But life is like that. Always have a price for anything you want to buy. But some price is worth to pay. Some price not worth to pay. But what can we make? How can we make a good decision? If we don't give a try. So you already touched what is called negative. Now you can return to your consciousness. Come back and take refuge on your loving kindness. Understand that person. Sometimes that person's background is not as beautiful as you understanding. They have lots of difficulties in their life too. That's why they become a person like that. I have dealt with some teenagers. I love them dearly. I come to them with all my heart. And when I talk to them, they never return me with anything good. Sometimes they treat me worse than their friend. They can talk to their friend with a beautiful voice, with a beautiful word. But when they talk to me, they are not that beautiful. And if I don't I don't meditate on them, because they have a very, you know, negative background. And I already accept them when they're in a very bad situation. Why don't I open my heart wider in order to accept them more? Sometimes, to tell you the truth, I just want to give up. I just want to stand up and I clean my hands. But I can't, on the way, I take a few steps back, I meditate right away. Is this a real practice or not? Then I come back and sit and talk. As a monk, we are not a saint. We still have up and down a lot. But I thanks to that up and down environment, because they help me. For instance, you want to come to this temple on Fridays, and the only way to come to the parking lot is the back alley. And you know the back alley is very rough, lot of holes. And not because of that holes, you don't come to Friday. You see what I mean? No matter, coming here is the main thing. All the hoses at the back alley is not a big deal, even though they give us, you know, some difficulty driving. But it's okay. We're able to move our car. The hole compared to a car with four wheels is nothing. We're able to flexible. Practicing Buddhism is to be flexible. That is the reason why the temple's roof always curving. The curving of the roof stands for the flexible of the practice. You already come to the flexible practice. Why don't you learn and to be a flexible person? The tongue stay with us forever because the tongue is soft. It can curve and move. But the teeth will go on very fast because the teeth is hard. You see that idea? A person complained to his teacher, since I come here for 3 years already, you never teach me anything of the practice. And the teacher said, since you came here, I teach you everything, but you never learn. I say, how? I didn't see you teach me anything. Well, when you're angry, I told you come to eat. When you're thirsty, I ask you to drink. When you say you're tired, I let you go to sleep. What else do you want? Practicing Buddhism is like that. Nothing is a big deal. But if we don't see that, everything can be a big deal. That person hold the tray of the cookie one hand and take the cookie by one hand. If you see it's a big deal, yes, it's really a big deal. He never followed Thay's instruction. But if you see things not a big deal, yes, it's not a big deal as long as he can take a cookie. So one Zen Vietnamese Zen master said that in this universe, if you want to count one grain of dust still must be counted. If you don't want to count, even big like a house, the whole university, the whole universe, nothing. If you say there is something, yes, everything is something. If you say everything is empty, yes, everything is empty. Even this big temple is also empty. It depends on how we look at things. A student complained to the teacher, when I meditate, people always make noise around me, like that teapot. But when the master looked at him, and he looked at the piece of carpet, he said, tell me, is this piece of carpet silent or noisy? And he said, oh, of course, the piece of carpet is always noisy, always silent. And the master said, but why are you noisy? Everything is like that. Master, people surround me so annoying. The teacher say, but why you are so noisy along? No matter what surround you, but if you practice good, nothing can bother you. Like one time I told you, the teacher asked, you come from Ontario, right? Yeah, I come from Ontario. I heard Ontario is a very noisy city, a noisy province. And he said, but my country is very quiet. That's how he answered his teacher. He means that the teacher asked, the outside is very noisy. But he said, my mind is calm. Even from outside, but it's not strong enough to bother me. My country is very calm. If we don't understand the situation becomes the object for us to be upset. But we understand, they become a lecture for us to learn. So I hope that today we have learned from each other a lot. And we thank for your question, because your question is very reality in our daily practice. And just one night like this is not enough to discuss, because this is things that happen every day in life, and they make us upset in different way, and we are unable to sit and discuss them, you know, in all corners of it. But look, some, and we have to, we can take it and transform, and learning like this is like we are following some basic ingredients. And if you are a good cooker, you can make your meal in different dishes just based on the same vegetables, same ingredients, but you can make different dishes. I also thank you for your presence tonight. I hope that you enjoy the night and enjoy your weekend. And next Friday, instead of sitting meditation and reciting the mindfulness trainings, we will move to the next Friday, the Friday after. So next Friday, we still have sitting meditation and no trainings, precept recitation, just the sitting meditation. So I hope that you can make your time come with the Sangha to practice together. And every day at home, you spend about 10 to 15 minutes to sit to quiet your mind. And believe me, when you practice this every day, you can see the powerful of the calming in your mind. And even things come, you will have the way to deal, the way to face, and you can transform things easily. Like I give you a cup of tea, you just drink that. As easy as you drink a cup of tea. I just want to announce that our brother Belka, he's been here with us for a while in the city for his work, for his job, and he have came here to practice with us, but I believe that next week he will move to another place to continue with his job, because he works as a contract. So, Belka, you want to say a few words before you leave tonight?
I guess I want to thank everybody here. Thank all the Sangha. And it's been very good for me to be here. I've learned so much. And I thank you so much to ask this question today, because actually that's a question that I was asking myself every time I came here. And I haven't asked directly. So I thank you very much to have. If it's my last day here today, you made me a beautiful gift. So thank you very much. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Can we sing a song, dear friends, together? dear friends, let me tell you how I feel. You have given me such treasure, I love you so. Dear friends, let me tell you how I feel. You have given me such treasure, I love you so. Dear friends, let me tell you how I feel. You have given me such treasure, I love you so. Please enjoy your breathing along with the three sounds of the bell.